Last week in the censorship. Say, preacher, where's censorship at? Amen. Right over my right shoulder. Third one down. Censorship. Second one down. I'm sorry. Right under courtship is the censorship. We started this in this ship last week. We came to sail in it, giving an understanding of it. And last week just kind of gave some principles leading up to it that we need to abide by, because censorship in and of itself is not the goal, or is not the end of the goal. The end of the goal is being sanctified or set apart unto the Lord Jesus Christ away from sin. Amen. And so we pretty much dealt with that last week, but I'll review that briefly before we go into the point for today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and last week we read verses 12 through 24. I'm not going to read all those verses today. You're at liberty to do that and when you get a chance. But Paul here is finishing up on this epistle to the church at Thessalonica. Some of the background here, he was only able to spend about 3 or 4 weeks here at Thessalonica because he got run out of town. And so this church was very dear to his heart. He wanted to send back some information to them to help them to live the Christian life, since he was not there to help establish them. And towards the end of this book, he's giving some miscellaneous instructions, if you would. Notice down there in verse number 15, he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." That's good teaching, amen. "But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." That's good teaching. "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing." That's good preaching, good teaching. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Amen. Paul said, you want to be in the will of God? Thank him. Amen. Thank him. Say, well, he didn't give me anything. I beg to differ. Beg your pardon, he gave you your life, he gave you your toes, he gave you your eyes, he gave you your ears. And he says down in verse 19, "Quench not the spirit," or don't stop the spirit from working in your life. "Despise not prophesying." When somebody wants to prophesy or give the word of God out, don't despise it. "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." So he says, test everything, make sure you run it by the word of God. And when you find out what's good, hold on to that. And then he says in verse 22, which is our censorship verse, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So the Apostle Paul, in writing, he says, you know, let me give you some parting words here as I close out this letter. Mind verses, all the verses starting in verse number 1, but he says, now wait a minute. He said, you need to abstain from all appearance of evil. Notice verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or set you apart from sin to God wholly. "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, I want the total man, the total person, to be without blame when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And the way to do that is to take heed to what I am telling you. Verse 24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The verse of topic is verse 22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." And as we continue in the censorship, we're going to look at what it is and what we need to do as a result of it. And I do trust that as we abide in this ship, you'll find some things that possibly you need to censor in your life. By the way, censoring is not the goal. The goal is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always the goal. Father, thank you once again for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in thy house today. Lord, as we continue discussing the censorship, we know the goal is to keep our eyes on you. And Lord, it is you that we want to focus on. Help us to turn our eyes on you, look full in your wonderful face. And the song says, "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace." So Lord, help us today to focus on Jesus Christ, see him high and lifted up. Lord, we know at times we will be distracted. We'll see the world of sin around us, but help us to quickly regain our focus as we head towards the glory of God. I pray for anyone today under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've never been born again. Help them to recognize today is the day of their salvation. They must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Work in our lives, Lord. Instruct us much from your word. And Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Miss Natasha is going to sing for us this morning.
I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And you think I would really matter? And I thought the sacrifice would be too great. When I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even less. And even though it took dying to survive, I never felt so much alive. Within me, His cross will never ask for more than I can give. Words not my strength to give. They can pay the sacrifice. I am crucified with Christ.
And I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Amen. Talk about a paradox. Amen. Being crucified with Christ shouldn't mean that I'm dead. Amen. But the fact remains, we're alive. Amen. And we should live unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Thank you, Ms. Natasha. Appreciate the message and song there. Amen. Well, we are continuing in the censorship. I kind of went through great lengths last week to kind of give us the understanding of the principle behind the censorship. And I made this comment here. Just because you censor things out of your life does not make you holy. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Just because I don't do certain things doesn't make me holy or make me godly. God makes me godly. God makes me holy. Amen. And so we have to drop this misnomer that we have that, well, if I don't smoke, I'm holy. Well, no. Well, if I don't curse, I'm holy. Well, no. Well, if I don't drink, I'm holy. Well, no. Well, if I don't beat up people, I'm holy. Well, no. You're bullying them. You know, if I don't do these things, I'm holy. And that's not the case. And we have this idea, I think, in churchianity, I would call it, that because we don't do what our neighbors do, we're more holy than them. And that's not true either, amen. They may not do the same things you do. Amen. They may not watch certain programs. They may not go certain places. Does that mean they're holy? Amen. Hey, we've got to understand something, that if I'm going to abide in the censorship, yes, I'm going to watch some things that I do, but it's for a reason. The greater reason of the censorship is sanctification, and that's what we talked about last week. Let me give you the definition of censorship that I gave out last week. It is removing things before getting exposed to them. Amen? Removing things before getting exposed to them. It's regulating impulses and stimuli from the unconscious before reaching your consciousness. It is also taking things out before letting them in. So that is censoring things. And I gave you this if you're an online shopper. If you're an online shopper, then censorship to you is taking the item out of your shopping cart before paying for it. Amen. You're an online shopper. In literature or in the theater, it's an authorized examiner of literature, plays, or other material who may prohibit what's considered morally or otherwise objectionable. So you have the TV ratings now, TVY, whatever, TV14 or TV whatever. You've got PG, parental guidance, R, restricted, X, B, O, R, amen, whatever, amen. Got all these different regulations out there now trying to regulate things, amen. Some of them I can't even understand sometimes. But abiding in the censorship will vary from Christian to Christian depending on their spiritual maturity, and we mentioned that. And so I mentioned that we would need to discuss sanctification first because the principle of sanctification governs this ship. And again, the principle of sanctification is this, being set apart from the world of sin to God for his use. I used my examples last week. Let me have Gregory and Joshua back up here. Gregory was representing God over on that wall. Joshua was representing the Christian over on this wall. Amen. And I had someone else here. Who else did I have here? Terrell. Come on up here, Terrell. And we're trying to demonstrate this idea of sanctification, because sanctification will involve censorship. And so Joshua is the Christian. Joshua just got saved out of the world. Okay, so he's in the world now, all right? Now, he gets saved. He comes out of the world, all right? So once he comes out of the world, amen, and he gets saved, this wall here represents the world of sin, okay? G2 represents God. And so if he's going to be sanctified, the definition of sanctification or sanctified means to be set apart from the world to God for his use. And so now if he's going to be sanctified, he's got to come out of the world, keep his eyes on the goal, and if he closes his eyes and stops seeing the Lord over there, you know what's going to happen? Probably going to run into a pew and hurt himself. So he's got to keep his focus on the Lord. I mentioned there's some principles that go along with sanctification. Principle number one that goes with this is this. Let me look at this here. Amen. The first point is the point in sanctification. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, which means I've got to submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. So I've got to get closer. That's the point. All right? The next thing we saw then is the people. The people of sanctification. He lists a laundry list of sins in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And then he said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. So that was you. You're washed, you're justified, you're sanctified. You're set apart from that world. You're set apart unto God for his use. So you're going in that direction. So the point, the people, the process. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you need the word of God to know about God. Amen. If you don't have a manual to see where God is and know more about God, you won't know who he is. Amen. Not going to find it in the newspaper. Amen. All right. Go to the Bible. And then the process, the people, the point, then the principle. No man can serve two masters. Amen. If you're trying to serve me, and Terrell, go over here and pull his other arm. You're trying to serve me, and you're trying to serve Terrell. What's going to happen to you? You're going to break, amen. You're going to try to say, well, no, I don't want to go there. Terrell's going to try to pull you that way, amen. Well, wait a minute. God wants to pull you that way. So you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one, amen. And so you've got to keep your eyes on Mr. Dawson down there who's representing God, all right? And so we've got the point of sanctification is I got to submit to God, keep my eyes on him, the people, such were some of you. The process, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The principle, I can't serve two masters, all right? And so we did mention this as well. If Terrell gets saved out of the world now, and so he's out of the world, amen, he gets saved, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, come on in here, amen. So now he's out of the world of sin. Who should he keep his eyes on, God or the Christian in front of him? He's got to keep his eyes on God because this Christian may make him stumble. He doesn't have the faith that this Christian had. This Christian is halfway through his Christian life now. He's over the hill now. He's been saved for 25, 30 years. He's been saved here for 30 minutes. And so he cannot have the faith that he has. And so he's got to keep his eyes on the Lord. That's why it's unwise for you and I to compare ourselves to each other and say, well, I should be like this Christian. I should be, no, you should be like God. Amen? You should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this, thank you, man. I appreciate that. When we look at this process of censorship, what's going to happen is along the road of sanctification, several things can happen. And I cautioned us. I says, why do we need sanctification before censorship? Because staying away from sin doesn't make me godly. Getting close to God makes me godly. Amen. You can stay away from a whole lot of sins. That's not going to make you godly. You need God to make you godly. Amen. And so just staying away from sins is not going to do it. By the way, there's some good moral people that don't do what a lot of people do. And that doesn't make them godly. They don't smoke, they don't chew, they don't run with those that do, they don't drink, amen, they don't curse, they don't fuck, they don't let their kids watch inappropriate programs, they don't watch them themselves, they don't read dirty books and magazines, they don't do those things, but guess what? They're not saying they can't be godly. They can be moral. They can be morally upright, but they have to be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So again, the goal for the Christian is to get closer to God, not to try and avoid sin. And what do we spend most of our life trying to do? Avoiding sin. And you know that makes you miserable? Because you look at all the things that you can't do. And you look at all the things that possibly Christians ought not do. And what you ought to be doing is keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. However, comma, as I walk towards the Lord, I'm often going to get distracted. My focus should be there. Yes, it should be there. But as I walk along, I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to see some things that I shouldn't see that possibly are inappropriate. Hence, abstain from all appearance of evil. When I see it, I've got to be able to know, I've got to regain my focus on the Lord. That is something that I really shouldn't be looking at. I'm driving down, especially men, driving down the street, you see a billboard of a lady immodestly dressed, and where does your eye go? Bingo! Right there. Ladies, you see a guy walking down the street with his chest all open, hairy, and looking like this, amen. Hey, look like this, man. You know, where does your eye go? Bingo! But our eyes are attracted to flesh and physique and things of that nature. And so when you see it, bingo, I've got to say, no, I can't look at that. So Paul said, hey, look, you need to abstain from appearances of evil. If you see it, stay away from it. Why? It's inevitable when I'm trying to walk for the Lord, the devil's going to try to distract me. Amen. He's going to try to get you to fall some way, shape, fashion, or form. And so my goal is not to try to avoid sin and to get closer to God. However, when I do see sin, I've got to know to abstain from it. Amen. Guess what? All the devil needs for you to do is nibble on his bait. Hey, what did the old serpent say in the Garden of Eden? Yea, hath God said. And he got her into a dialogue. You don't want a dialogue with the devil, amen? He is too slick for you, he's too crafty for you, and he knows your weak spot. He knows your weak spot. And so Paul left it up, stay from all appearance of evil. So you got to understand then, what is evil to me? Because what's evil to you may not be what's evil to me. Amen? Mentioned that last week. So this morning, by God's grace, I'm going to talk about one of the three topics in the censorship. Say, preacher, what is that? Three aspects that we're going to look at, but only one today. Things to cut in the censorship is the first point. Things to curtail in the censorship is the second point that we'll discuss. And then things to consider in the censorship. We'll only get a chance to talk about the first one today. Things to cut in the censorship. I think the goal for the Christian is to get closer to God, not to try to avoid sin. However, the closer I get to God, the further away from sin I should get. Let me read you a commentary from a guy by the name of William Birkin on 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Notice, it says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. He says, it is not Paul's meaning that we abstain from all that which appears evil to, notice this last word, others. Read that again. It is not Paul's meaning that we abstain from all that which appears evil to others. So just because somebody else sees it evil, you may not see it as evil. He goes on to say this, for that would be to destroy our Christian liberty and things indifferent and create in our minds continual perplexity. Why can't I do this? It's got to be evil in my eyes. I've got to see it as evil. He goes on to say this, but Paul exhorts us to abstain from everything which after discerning or sizing it up by the word of God seems evil to ourselves and is judged by us to be evil. So, in other words, what he's saying is God's got to show you that it's evil. By the way, what God shows Terrell after getting saved for 30 minutes and showing Joshua after being saved for 30 years is going to be totally different because of their spiritual eyesight and their faith and their vision. Spiritually speaking, it's going to be different. He goes on to say this, yet it is our duty not to give any occasion of scandal to anything, but to live without fault. And if possible, without flaw, that the world may have nothing to blame on us. It is reported that Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to smoke. I mean, you know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, they call him the Prince of Preachers. It is said that he used to smoke, but his smoking offended some Christians. He didn't see anything wrong with smoking himself. But his smoking offended some people, so guess what he did? He abstained from the appearance of evil. He said, I'm not going to smoke. He said, you know what? You think this is a sin, and if I'm going to stand here in the pulpit and preach to you, you will not receive anything I've got to say. And so I'm going to take away that appearance altogether so that you can hear what I've got to say. Now, was he ever convinced that it was evil? I don't know. That's not up to me to judge. That's God's job. Again, that's why sailing in the censorship will vary from Christian to Christian, because it will depend on our spiritual maturity. Now, if our goal is to keep our eyes on Jesus, why do we need to abstain from evil? Because as we are following Jesus, we will take our eyes off him and see evil, and we need to avoid it. We focus on Jesus, avoiding the detours of sin, because sin is alluring. Sin is alluring. All three say amen. One, two, three. If it wasn't alluring, it wouldn't catch so many people. But sin is alluring, and the devil knows what sin is alluring to you. He allured me by alcohol. He allured me by drugs. He may not allure you in the same way. He may allure you by pornography. He may allure you to thievery. He may allure you to something else, but he knows what allures you. Why? He's been with you since you've been born. Not waiting, you're saved, you still have a demon assigned to you by the devil to keep you from doing what you ought to do. Amen. You got to just sin on your own demon. He helps you. Also, we never want to be a stumbling block for others. That's why we need to abstain from appearance of evil. In order to understand this, we've got to understand what the verse means. So we're going to talk about this first point. Things to cut into censorship. These are known sins, obvious things that can harm your eye. These things can harm us or hurt us physically, spiritually, testimonially, emotionally, psychologically, mentally, socially, and on we can go. If the Bible plainly states that we should stay away from a sin, guess what we should do? So that needs to be cut out first and foremost. And that this is not even a question. And not even a question of what we should do. Amen. But I want us to understand this verse first of all. First Thessalonians, notice down there again, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. The word abstain means to refrain from or to hold oneself off from. The word all means exactly what it means. All. Any and everything. The whole of it. Appearance means the sight of or the view of or the form of something. Appearance. Then evil is a very, very different type of word. It means that which is deviant or off the path, that which is hurtful, that which is diseased, that which is mischievous, that which is bad, grievous, harmful, rude, malicious, or wicked. In other words, if it has the appearance that it is deviant, hurtful, diseased, mischievous, bad, grievous, harmful, lewd, malicious, or wicked, I'm going to abstain from it. Now, that's going to be different for all of us. Amen. Hey, by the way, if you grew up in a drunkard's home, to you, drinking is evil. Not to the Bible, it is as well. You're not going to remember this yet, amen. But to someone that didn't grow up in a drunkard's home, to them, you know, a little body for the toddy, a little toddy for the body never hurt anybody, amen. To them, it's not a problem. But if you grew up with a drunkard, and you got beat by that drunkard, you see big problems with that. But someone that was never exposed to that, or the horrors of that, it's okay. You know, a little bit of wine is okay. You want to have the heart rate, amen. I'm down all the way too. So as we talked about this, you got to really understand when sin comes knocking at your door, what seems sin to you? Don't answer. Don't answer. By the way, don't leave before the address either. Amen. Don't say, hey, I'm out here. I'll be back soon. No, don't leave before the address. Leave the package at the door. You don't want to leave sin's package at the door. What am I talking about? Well, I'm abstaining from the appearance of evil. This will vary from Christian to Christian, depending on my spiritual maturity. Now, let me give you some situations that I've personally tried to abstain from that appear evil for me or invite evil for me. Now who are we talking about? Me. We're not talking about you, so I don't want you to leave here saying, preacher said we can't do this, preacher said we can't do that. I don't want you to leave here saying that. I'm saying this is what appears evil for me. This is what invites me or solicits me to evil, and so I have had to abstain. Why? It's going to be different for everybody. You've got to make sure that you understand the biblical principles that God would have you to follow and know what can get you off of the track for following God, because the goal at the end of the day is to stay focused on Jesus Christ. But there are certain things that I know the devil will try to get me off track on, and I've got to abstain from it. Which are some things that you may have to abstain from too. Because what are some of the things that you have tried to abstain from? I've tried to abstain from going into a bar. I tried to abstain from going into a liquor store or a nightclub. Why? It would give the appearance that I am drinking, and I know that would not only be a stumbling block for me, but it might be a stumbling block for you as well. And so I tried to avoid that appearance. I don't want to go into a nightclub. Been there, done that. I don't want to go into a liquor store. Been there, done that. Don't want to go into a bar. Been there, done that. And it's proven dangerous and hazardous to my health. Amen. By the way, even if I do go into a bar or a liquor store, a nightclub, do I have to buy anything? No. But just the appearance of it looks bad. It just looks bad. How many of y'all saw me coming out of the Triple X Adult Male Show? There goes the pastor coming out of the Triple X Adult Male Show. Hey, Kyle, how you doing? Pastor, it wasn't 3 X's. It was 10 X's up on top of that thing. What happened? I'm not going to get changed for a nickel. Dumb excuse, but anyway. I wouldn't even get changed for a 20. I wouldn't. It just looks bad. It just looks bad. In Belgium, they I got saved in Belgium, and they had, anybody familiar with the term near beer? It's beer, it looks like beer, tastes like beer, but it's got an alcohol in it. They call it near beer. And they say, hey, since you stopped drinking, just drink some near beer. Okay? Guess what it looks like I'm really drinking? I'm trying to abstain from the appearance of evil. I don't want near beer, I don't want far beer, I don't want intermediate beer, I want no beer. They said, well, just drink some near beer and it'll give you the same type of a feeling. I don't want that feeling. Been there, done that, I'm through. Got the scars to prove it. Amen. Near beer still has the appearance of real beer. I'm trying to get as far away from it as I can. Not near it. Amen. Two other things for me. For me, being alone with the opposite sex is not a smart thing. Why? It invites unwanted immoral appearances. It just invites that appearance. Now, nothing may not be going on, but it doesn't look that way oftentimes. Especially if I'm in a room with no windows at night. That just is not smart for me. Oh, preacher, you're just going, you're just exaggerating things. Hey, I can be alone with the opposite sex. That may be true for you, however, your chances of immorality are increased. Especially if it's at night. Especially if there's closed doors, especially if there's no windows, and especially if there's no witnesses. We live in a day and age of allegations. He put his hands on me. It's my word against their word. He said this gesture to me. My word against their word. And folks, I'm not being silly. I'm being discerning. I'm trying to abstain from something that I know can escalate into something that doesn't need to be. Many of these athletes, how do they get into these predicaments? Being alone with a female when they shouldn't have been. And they get themselves in trouble. They're behind closed doors and there's no one around. And we've got cell phone cameras and tape recorders and all kinds of things. I'm saying for me to abstain from the appearance of evil would include being alone with the opposite sex when there's no windows or no opportunities for others to look in. Say, preacher, no. No, there's no witnesses, no possible chance of me defending myself. And in this day and age, the woman is often believed more than the man because the man is oftentimes guilty. Amen. Got a bunch of dirty old men walking around here. Say, preacher, give me an example. Joseph and Potter's wife. They were privately alone when she approached him. And what did she do? She publicly accused him. When they were privately alone, David and Bathsheba, he was alone. Everybody else was in the battle. And where was David at? At home, looking at her and calling for her. Amnon and Tamar, they were alone. He put everybody out of the room and he forced her into an act that he should never have done. I'm not saying there had been some witnesses there that wouldn't have happened. And so for me, that's not good. Three, going to hang out with the smokers in their area does not appear to be inviting. Why? It appears unspoken. But these are things that I try not to do. This is what I like. Me and G2 saw this on the way up to Phoenix the other day. There's a big old billboard up there in Phoenix by I-17. But oh, I got my son down there that way. And it said in big letters, Hooters. And had a young lady up there exposing things that she shouldn't be exposing. You know what they didn't have on that sign, Brother Hall? A picture of some hot wings. They had something else up there, though. But they didn't have a picture of hot wings. Matter of fact, they didn't mention hot wings. Did y'all see that guy up there? I know we're looking at this all that. After we passed by, I said, G2, you didn't see that. He said, what? I said, you didn't see that. Amen. Hey, I'm not going to go to Hooters for some hot wings. What's wrong with Wingstop? I don't want to talk about that. No, because you're too busy thinking about Hooters. Hooters shows you what they're advertising. The woman up there with the big Google eyes, somebody looking. That's what they're advertising. They're not advertising any wings. You can get wings any place. You can go to Domino's and get wings. You can go to Wingstop and get wings. You can go to Fry's and get wings. But men want to go to the Hooters to who got the ladies. Nothing wrong with hot wings from Wingstop, amen. But to go to Hooters for me appears that I'm looking at something I got nobody looking at. Come on, somebody help me now. I'm saying these are things that for me appear to be evil that I don't need to get involved with because the devil knows that while I'm focusing on the Lord, these things can distract me, and while I'm distracted, I cannot be sanctified, set apart for his use because the devil is trying to use me for his own good. I'm just saying, what have you had to censor out of your life? Let's go on and on concerning things before, and I have many things that I have set apart. And why? So that I can abstain from that sin, so that I can be holy. No, so I can refocus on my Lord and get closer to my God and be holy. He said, but sanctify yourselves and be holy. So we got a couple things here real quick. Again, these things are things that I found personally that are dangerous for me. Who am I talking about again? So I want you going, I can't go to Hooters going preaching. I can't go there. No, I'm telling you, I don't go to Hooters. Well, I can't hang out with smokers going preaching. I know, I told you, I don't do that. And I can't go to liquor store, nightclub. The one preacher said, no, I told you, I don't do that. I got good reasons for it, too. So how can we cut out evil or avoid evil itself or and the appearance of it or at least minimize it? A good place to start for things to cut in the censorship is some things that we already know. How many other Ten Commandments? Amen. Even if we don't know them by heart, we know them in our heart. Amen. Go to Exodus chapter 20, real quick. How can we minimize this thing? How can we cut evil or avoid evil itself with the appearance of it, or at least minimize it? Exodus chapter 20. And again, most of us know the Ten Commandments in our hearts, even though we don't know the Ten Commandments themselves. Amen. Because if your life depended on it, most of us probably couldn't name all ten of them. Amen. Notice this. Exodus 23 says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. And so that is putting God first daily. A good way to avoid the appearance of evil, a good way to avoid sin, is having God first every day. Amen. By the way, if he's first, sin's got to be second. Amen. You cannot focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and have your sin at the same time. It's an impossible lie. Sin is going to be behind you because sin is of the world and the Lord Jesus Christ is of heaven. And so if I focus on the Lord first, then my back is already on sin. Notice Exodus 24. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. That's idolatry. Amen. Verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's using the Lord's name irreverently. Amen. Notice verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Spend some time on the Lord's day to worship and honor him. Notice Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father, thy mother. Children, when you dishonor your parents, guess what? You're violating that, and you have just gotten yourself into evil. Amen. goes down in verse number 13. Thou shalt not kill. When you are doing that. And by the way, you say, well, I haven't physically killed anybody. I'm off the hook. Hey, maybe you killed somebody's purity. Amen. You stole their virginity. Maybe you killed somebody's reputation. Maybe you killed somebody's character by what you said. You still are guilty of murdering somebody's reputation, character, virginity, whatever it may be. Amen. Not just killing that we're talking about, although that's the primary inference there is killing and murder, amen? But you can murder somebody's reputation by what you say, by what you do. So down there, thou should not commit adultery, verse 14, that's immorality. Thou should not say, by the way, how do I get to commit adultery? Get about the relationship, so I need to abstain from the very appearance of the evil. Don't be alone with the opposite sex, amen? And there is no adultery going to take place unless you are one of these crazy folks that's doing stuff that you really ought not be doing, amen? Verse 15, thou shalt not steal, that's thievery, taking what doesn't belong to you. Thou shalt not bear false witness, that lying, amen? Those things right there are evil. The Bible says they're evil, and so we definitely know we shouldn't do that. Thou shalt not covet. Those are bad, evil desires that you know you should not have. Whatever it is. You say, well, I'm only coveting this job. I'm only coveting that girl. I'm only coveting that boy. I'm only coveting this bunny or that car or that house. It's still coveting. It's a desire that you shouldn't have. So knowing the Ten Commandments can regulate what we should avoid. Let me give you something to be saved today. Would it surprise you if I told you the Ten Commandments really don't apply to you? Would it shock you? Oh, no, preacher. Yes, preacher. Go to 1 Timothy and show yourself where. The Ten Commandments really don't apply to us. Say, preacher. No, preacher. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'll show you something here that you may have overlooked in the reading. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And 1 Timothy chapter number 1, once you come down with me to verse number, let's pick it up in verse number 6. What's going on here? Paul is instructing Timothy about the work there at Ephesus. And he says there's some people there teaching about the law. And he says, you need to put them in check, Timothy, and what they're teaching, because it's not about the law, it's about the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says about these people in verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the what? Law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. He said they don't have a clue. Paul says, but we know that the what? Law is good if a man use it how? Lawfully. Verse 9 is the eye-opener. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a who? A righteous man. So if I am saved, if I have the righteousness of Christ, the law is not made for me. Why? I have the law of Christ in me by the Spirit of God. And I have an inward leading, and so I don't need someone to tell me thou shalt not commit adultery because I know that's wrong by the Spirit of God. I know that I ought not lie because the Spirit of God is grieved every time I do it. I know that I should not steal because every time I do it, I'm grieved by the Spirit of God. I know I shouldn't dishonor my parents because every time I do it, I'm grieved by the Spirit of God. But it says it's not the outward law, it's the inner leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, if you're saved, you've got the Spirit in you to check you. Get your check and balance. Now, if you can get away with sin and not feel guilty about it, you are not saved. I didn't bat an eye. Because the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to their redemption. If you can continue to sin without any kind of bad feelings from the Spirit of God, knowing that you're violating God's law, you're not saved, friend, and you need to get born again. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Hey, folks, I saw nothing wrong with drinking February 3rd, 1991, February 2nd, 1991. I was at the club that night with the best of them, February 2nd. And I went to church February 3rd, 1991, and got saved, and went home and tried to do the same thing, drink. And I turned that thing up. And immediately, something inside me, which was the Spirit of God, said, you don't have any right. feel about anybody. You don't feel good, do you? I said, no, I felt horrible. I said, this body is on the board. And I drank and I said, my wife said, you gotta drink yourself crazy. You gonna die. I kept trying to drink and drink more and drink more. Why? February the 2nd, 1991, I didn't have a problem with it. February 3rd, 1991, after I got saved, I had a big problem with it. I didn't even say a curse word, blankety blank. I thought, oh. I can't believe I just said that. What happened? That's it. And I didn't need a law outside of me telling me what was right and what was wrong. I had a spirit inside me that told me what was right before. My right and wrong was always conditioned upon what people thought about me. And when they didn't see me get away with it, I didn't know that. You didn't see me screw up that much stuff. We get that from, man, I bought this. Lying on top of that Bear Falls bills, stealing. And after I got saved, guess what? But then that stuff was stealing money. What am I saying here? There's an inward law that we have. And the Bible says, verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the who? The lawless. And who? Disobedient. For who? The ungodly. And who? For sinners. For who? For unholy. And who? Profane. What is profane mean? It means to be outside the temple. It's stuff that's not done in the presence of God. And so we call it profanity because it's outside the temple. These are things that you did not do in the temples. They call them profane. You put that out, we have what's called profanity, and we think it's cute. It's profane, the Bible calls it. He says down there, or for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for who? Verse 10, whoremongers, for who? Them that defile themselves with mankind. What is that? A bunch of homosexual activity, amen. For men pleasers, men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He said, look, that's what the law is for. Why is it not for me? Because I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm saying I got the law of God written in my heart, and I know what's right and what's wrong. Even if I can't go to Bible and prove it, I know it's not right. Amen. There's certain things that I do that I can't go chapter and verse, but God says, that's not right for you. It's not right for you. Folks, if you're saved, you have that. But be careful. The Bible says you have your conscience seared with a hot iron. You can dabble with sin, and that's wrong with sin so much, to get his presence so much, that you see absolutely nothing wrong with it. Consider Lot. Lot saw absolutely nothing wrong with going in the direction of Sodom. Next thing you know, he's close to Sodom. Next thing you know, he's in Sodom. Next thing you know, he's sitting at the gate as a representative official. The angels tried to pull him out, but his daughters were already contaminated with it. That's why they had a relationship with their dad and had gotten pregnant by their dad. That's why the wife turned into salt. Why? Not to see anything wrong with sin. And if you don't see anything wrong with sin, watch out. That's why he said, if faith won't appear to it, don't even start looking at it. Get away from it. Faith won't appear to it. What am I talking about here? How can we cut this? He said, preacher, if we're not governed by the law, we're not governed by the last grass, but that's Galatians chapter 5. When we governed by the law, preacher, the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5. Then by what are we governed then? Inwardly, we know what's right by the Holy Spirit of God. In chapter number 5 of Galatians, he lets you know what the lusts of the flesh are up there in verse number 17. Verse 16, this I say, that walking the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want. But if you land of the Spirit, you're not under the what? Law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the things that your flesh wants to do. Adultery, fornication, those are the same things as the Ten Commandments. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, elations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, he said, if you can be involved in these things unrepentantly and not feel any remorse from God in your spirit, in your heart, you're not saved. I didn't say that, God did. Amen. A lot of people missing the boat, thinking they're saved and they're not, because they're engaging in activity like this with no remorse. So then what are we led up, Paul, verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit, what love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. By the way, you can't have no peace in you and so. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is what? No law. There's nothing that will prevent you from behaving that way. There's nothing wrong with acting like that. What are we governed by? We're governed by the Spirit of God. We're governed by the Spirit of Christ. So how can we cut out evil or avoid evil itself and the appearance of it, or at least minimize it, cut known sin from our lives and keep our hearts? Go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, as we get ready to close. Amen. Proverbs 4:23. How can I cut out evil or avoid evil itself and the appearance of it, or at least minimize it? If I know it's not the law, then what is it? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 goes, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. I need to cut no sin, that I need to keep my heart with all diligence. I need to protect and guard. The word there, keep, means to protect, to guard. Keep thine heart. The word heart there means the will of emotion, the seat of emotion, the intellect, the decision part making of man. I've got to protect it. I've got to guard the decision part making of myself. Why? It's going to govern and guide where I go. Amen. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues means the going forth or the direction. So in other words, what you're exposed to ultimately will dictate where you go in life. Amen. If you don't abstain from evil, you will ingest it, you will take it in, and you will go in its direction. If you keep your mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will take him in, and you will go in his direction. You only have two choices, for God or against God. It's just that simple, folks. And so Paul, writing to them, says, look, I want you guys to understand something. I wasn't able to be with you long, but I want to make sure you understand that state of all Greeks and people. They were Greeks and a Greek society with a bunch of Greek gods and a lot of Greek practices, and most of them were immoral and filthy and idolatrous. He said, you better watch it. You better watch it. What am I saying? You're going to be in the censorship. There are going to be some things we're going to have to cut in this ship. Some things we're going to have to avoid in this ship. Some things in this ship that appear to us to be evil. I'm going to have to make sure that I guide myself against it, protect myself, protect my heart from decent exposure. It'll make a world of difference. Preacher, how did you get to where you're at right now? I'm standing for the cause of certain things. Even when people thought I was crazy, that's why I said, this is what I'm going to do. You can't do that. It's not that I can't. I don't want to. Why? Because I feel like I want to do it. I've been down this road before. I know certain things that we do. And I don't want to make the time for it. I want to spend my time focusing on God. I want to spend my time drawing nigh to God. I want to spend my time submitting, therefore, unto God, resisting the devil, and he will flee. I won't turn my back. There's certain things that I'm trying to avoid, and I know that if I put myself in that way, it's a potential danger for me. You've got to say, what's a potential danger? Is being in a room with the opposite sex going to send me to hell? No. Is smoking a cigarette going to send me to hell? No. Is drinking alcohol going to send me to hell? No. Are any of the things that I listen, going to Hooters, that going to send me to hell? No, 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 and no. It might cause somebody else to stumble. And it may cause me to stumble. And I'm not going to buy an outside law anymore. I'm going to buy what we need with you, the Spirit of God. And he warned me to abstain. And so the closer you get to God, the more censor of living in me. And folks, you may not censor certain things from our children. You don't let them see. You don't let them handle. You don't let them touch. Whoever thinks of giving a little baby a bottle of beer, and guess what, a lot of guys do. And Lord, you give that child the words that I can tell for alcohol. Whatever they give that child some drugs, what they need to do just to see what happens in the world. Lord, you need to let their appetite for drugs. Whatever they've exposed a young child to pornography, what they need to do is to let their appetite for drugs. And so we censor things from our children, but we don't have a censor to go from ourselves. My goal is to be hope to know Jesus. My goal is to set my affection on things above and on things of God. My goal is to submit the shelter from God and just to never do the thing. Will I get distracted at times from this side and from this side and from this way and from that way? Yes, I will. That's why Paul says, don't call it for me when you see it. Say, uh-oh. When you see it, say, uh-oh. I don't know that. When you say, uh-oh, I don't go that way. That appears to be evil, so I don't go that way. So by the way, you will never do yourself a disservice by staying from evil. But you will do yourself a disservice by indulging in evil. That's what I mean. But that's anyway, thanks to censorship. Mainly the censorship doesn't make you die. Getting close to God makes you die. My question is, how close are you to the God of the Son of God? What things do you need to cry in your life right now? What things do you need to censor? And don't say, Christian, because you don't know that. No, you need to know God, so what God says about it. I do what I do for the biblical reason. I have personally done everything that I do. And you know that I do. So that's why sanctification is based upon principle. I'm saved and set apart from the Lord. And now I'm set apart unto God for this use, and that is the direction that I'm going on. I'm going to be distracted, but I'm going to say, that's evil, that's evil. And the pills are going to come, it's going to come for us. And thank you so much. Are you seeing it today? Do you not trust what I said to see you? Get to my eyes and close the Lord's will. Father, bless them and bless moments right now together. Lord, I understand that oftentimes we know what's evil. We don't think of this much damage in front of us. We know your knowledge. And that's exactly what's evil. What's kept us by Lord, by Lord. For Lord, we have a lot of sin. Help us, Lord, to avoid things that we know we have said come out. Take us to the place to strive for your sin and the Holy Spirit's us. Lord, help us as individuals determine what we need to do, not corporately as a group, but as an individual, what do I need to do as a husband, as a wife, as a young person? What do I need to do as a mother, as a father, as a single? What do I need to do to have things from all points of evil? Lord, help us to start with keeping our hearts with all diligence for our being on the issues of life. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, no looking around. How many would say, preacher, today if I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that heaven is my home, but I'm really concerned. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, no looking around. You say, preacher, pray for me. All across this room, heads bowed, eyes are closed. You raise your hand. I just want to pray for you real quick. Just stick it up so I can see you. Put that down. Anywhere like that at all. Not born again. My God, right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me, preacher. The next Christian for you, how are you abiding in the censorship? Are you avoiding the appearance of evil? And have you answered the question, what is evil for you? What is that that you will need to stay away from for your own personal benefit that will keep your focus off of God and on your surroundings? What is it? Maybe you need to come and ask God to help you deal with it today. I don't know what it is, but you know. Maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl, maybe it's a man, maybe it's a woman, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a money. Maybe it's a lust, maybe it's a program, maybe it's a movie, a music, magazine, whatever it is. You need to abstain from that because you know it will take your focus away from Almighty God and you cannot do the things that you want. Why don't you give that to God today? If you believe that Jesus Christ will help you, but you must come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that that was your home. Christian, this is not based upon my standards of appearance of evil. This is based upon the Word of God and you are standing in the presence of evil. Ignorance is not bliss. Father, bless God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and looking around. As Mr. Tasha plays the hymn of invitation, maybe God spoke in your heart that you need to come. An old-fashioned altar. Maybe something you saw within the Ten Commandments, you say, I need to abstain from that. Maybe God just flashed something across your mind and you say, I need to abstain from that. For me, it was cigarettes, the appearance of it. Alcohol, the appearance of it. Establishments that were not godly. And I need to abstain from that. What is it for you? Maybe it's moving. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's a magazine. Whatever it is, you would say, man, I got to abstain from that. It might not appear evil to others, but I know my own heart, and I know it's evil for me. Someone else may not have a problem with it, but I know I've got a problem with it. You know, not many people have a problem with alcohol, but I know I have a problem with it. Not many people have a problem with pornography and things of that nature, but some people have a problem with it. Some folks don't have a problem with lying, but others have a problem with it. Some folks don't have a problem with stealing, but others have a problem with that. Actually, I'm saying, well, I need to curb my life. I need to curb my steps. I got to abstain from the appearance of evil. This is not good for me. Because I put some guidelines in my life. I put some road signs in the way to say, hey, this is a situation you don't want to find yourself in. Because it will help you lose your focus. You'll be safe today, sir. Yeah, you'll be safe. Come to the Bible and show you how you're going to get today. Perhaps you have a baptism, I'm saying, but I'm not baptized. I'm just waiting for baptism. So I agree with God. I need to be baptized. But I'm just going to get from the church and baptize them. And then we'll follow. And so, perhaps if you're here today, you're saved and baptized, you need to be a member of a fundamental Bible Christian church. This is one. This is it. Maybe you present yourself to church membership and show you what you need to do. Remember here. Perhaps there's an item of service that God's calling you to do. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? I believe God's calling me to do this or do that. I need to find God's will for my life. Wherever you're at, we're talking about the censorship. Censorship doesn't make you godly. But it helps you to avoid things that stop you from being godly. Your goal is to get close to God. Censorship helps you avoid things that detract from that. Make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to see that it's not so much avoiding things or avoiding sin that we need to do, but it's keeping our minds and our hearts focused on Almighty God, seeing Jesus Christ high lifted up, seeing Him crucified and buried and risen again the third day for our sanctification. And as, Lord, we have been saved and set apart from the world, help us to be set unto you for your use by keeping our eyes on you. When these things come to our mind, Lord, help us to abstain from the appearance of evil. To not get sidetracked, but to keep our focus on you. Submitting ourselves, therefore, to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee. Lord, I pray for that one that may leave here today without Christ. Help them to know you love them, and you want to save them today. Thank you for loving us. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. Bring us back tonight. The appointed time, and we're looking forward to seeing great things. Help us, Lord, as we leave here to abide in the censorship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.